This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. A recent Washington Post story caught our eye with its headline, and I quote, "One of the country's poorest cities is suddenly becoming a food mecca." It spells out the growing food scene of young chefs and restaurateurs setting up in Detroit. We wanted to get the view of one of those chefs who is working right now in Detroit. Sarah Welch is executive chef at Republic Tavern, which is located in that beautiful restored castle-like Grand Army of the Republic building in Detroit. Chef Sarah Welch, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. So excited to be here.
Well, that Washington Post story was by writer Mark Guarino, and the declaration is put out there right away, quoting, "Detroit is in the middle of a culinary transformation." Do you agree with that statement?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think it's made evident in the number, the saturation of restaurants opening in Detroit right now. I know of six or seven that have opened in the past, 8 months. So I think that alone shows you what kind of growth is happening in the city of Detroit in terms of the food scene.
And why do you think it's happening now?
I think that anytime you have a city that has a great outflux of people, you go through a period of, stagnation, and then young artists show up, and then the artists need good places to eat, and so young chefs show up. And so from there, you're kind of building back the basic needs of a city. And so artists and chefs are usually the first people to crop back up.
And in your view, what role do you want Republic to play in this culinary transformation?
One of the big things that I think most of the chefs in the area are working towards or exceptionally committed to is just establishing a framework of local suppliers. I think that because, like I said, of the growth and saturation in the culinary scene right now, the framework is having a hard time sustaining all of those new restaurants. And so I think most of us right now are really focused on either training or partnering with farmers to get their product into Detroit until the more immediate Detroit scene is able to sustain the number of restaurants that are wanting to open in the area.
And what would that mean? What would that take?
A lot of urban farms are growing a decent supply of greens, but with the number of restaurants that are in the area, no one restaurant is able to sustain. All the goods are split. So kind of reaching further out, spreading further out. One of the suppliers that we work with is actually a Traverse City supplier. Mm-hmm. So pulling in Michigan local products, but just helping get the connection between us and northern Michigan farmers and southern Michigan farmers so that we're able to source locally and hopefully bring them closer into Detroit so that, there's a framework for everybody to function off of.
It certainly seems, from what I'm hearing, that you would be all in favor of any motion toward more urban ag in Detroit.
Yeah, absolutely. And then just, getting people that understand how to do it, allowing them another outlet to work in. The culinary field needs more people. There have been plenty of articles about, how understaffed we are in Detroit. So just getting people in the spectrum of culinary, whether it's growing or cooking or any of that, I think we're in desperate need of in Detroit right now. So,
well, I want to talk a little about your story, because this idea of what draws people to put their career aspirations right there in a restaurant. How did you come to be one of the chefs who's transforming Detroit's food scene? Where'd you grow up?
I actually grew up a couple blocks away from where we are right now. I grew up in Ann Arbor, but I spent half of my time between here and Jamaica in the Caribbean. My father is an entrepreneur, and he owns a resort there. So I had a knack for cooking very young because I was hanging out in the restaurant kitchens there. And then when I graduated from high school, I really wanted to go to art school. And my father was like, you know what? You got to go to business school first. And so I went to Michigan State for business, and then after that, straight to culinary school.
How'd the sidetrack happen from art to culinary school?
I knew that after I went to business school, my father has reasons for everything. And so I knew that I wanted to make a living. Mm-hmm. And so culinary arts was one way that I could, be creative and be artistic, but do it in a facet that I could make money and be successful and, grow and learn and sustain myself, sustain a family. So it was a really good choice for me.
So you went to New York, but then back here to Michigan. What steps did you take along the way to becoming executive chef at Republic?
When I graduated from school in New York City, I really missed Michigan. I missed home. I have always been very close with family. And so I knew that immediately after school, I didn't want to stay in the big city. I missed farms. I missed outdoors. So I knew I moved, you know, I was moving back home. And I immediately started to look for, like, you know, the best restaurants that I could work at. And Forest Grill was one of them at the time. Brian Poulsen was doing a beautiful charcuterie program. And so I applied to work there. And that was my first ever kitchen job, was just trying to keep up.
And what a guy to learn from.
Yeah, it was an incredible experience. I think that's probably where most of my roots in, like, whole animal butchery and my interest in charcuterie and my interest in kind of preservation methods in general, pickling, fermenting, preservation, where all of that was rooted. So
when the opportunity opened up at Republic Tavern, what did you see that as? What is it that you said, all right, I can make this into what?
I wanted to make it into a environment of communal learning. I feel like a lot of kitchens work off of a French brigade system of chef top down, very organized, very
structured.
Yeah,
rigid.
Very structured. Yeah, almost like you know, a monarchy. And I really wanted like a democracy in my kitchen. So I have, you know, we had already hired a bunch of really young, talented chefs and put so much effort into them. I wanted to operate a kitchen where they had an opportunity to express themselves and throw ideas, you know, on the table. And so since I've become executive chef there, one of my main goals has just been to listen more and to take on ideas more and to take more risks with, you know, the young cooks that I have in the kitchen and give them credit when they do something incredible, you know.
I'm speaking with executive chef Sarah Welch of Republic Tavern in Detroit. As we kind of dig into this recent Washington Post story that declared that Detroit is suddenly becoming a food mecca, what do you think is missing in that discussion of Detroit's growth and Detroit's development that we saw spelled out? Is there more that it's going to take before Detroit, in your view, is truly a food mecca?
One of the things that I like to talk about with people when they talk about Detroit or when they think about Detroit is that most people view Detroit as that downtown, which is a 10 square mile radius, which is so small by comparison to Detroit as a city, which is 139 square miles. So I think that one of the things that I would really love to see is just spread of the businesses that are cropping up in Detroit, people going further out.
Venture beyond downtown, Corktown, Midtown, that
precisely,
bubble.
Yeah. And I think that with those businesses growing outside of that really tight framework downtown, you know, other amenities will crop up there as well. They'll need stores. They'll need Whole Foods. They'll need, they'll need lights in the streets. You know, they'll need safe parking. And I think that just the cropping up of those restaurants further out will just extend the amount of attention that those areas in Detroit are getting in terms of just basic amenities.
And there are things that need to be in place to help these businesses succeed and also help, let's say, Detroiters get to the prospective jobs at these restaurants.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the bus systems are what most of our employees rely on, and up until now, it's still a rocky system, and we do the best that we can. We use Uber a lot to get our employees to work late at night or get them from work to home late at night. But yeah, we do need a system for sustaining a business that's to open outside of that. It's chicken or the egg. What happens first? Do we put a business out there, or do those amenities happen and then we put a business out there? I think it's a risky endeavor. So
do you think, based on the premise laid out in this story in the Washington Post by Mark Guarino, is Detroit a true food mecca, or is it still on the way to that goal?
I think that regardless of the new restaurants opening in the more kind of like American cuisine realm, Detroit has always had an exceptionally rich food culture. So regardless of us new kids on the block, there's always been great food in Detroit. There's Hamtramck, you know, really good Polish food. There's always been a Coney Mecca. So I think that new restaurants aside, there's always been a reason to come to Detroit for food. And that reason is just the rich ethnicity and the food there. You know, the pupuserias, there's some really great Thai food. There's some, I mean, obviously there's Mexican town. So I think it was before. And I think if anything, we're just adding a different face to that spectrum.
But if you are a young chef and you want to set down roots and build something, it strikes me that Detroit lets you be a bigger fish than you would say in New York or Chicago. You can really, you know, get some attention and as you say, all the better if they perhaps are willing to move out into the neighborhoods.
Absolutely. I think that the opportunity that was presented to me at such a young age is one that speaks incredibly to the opportunity available in Detroit. I work for entrepreneurs at Mindfield that that are willing to take risks, you know, risks on me, risks on the building. I mean, the amount of effort that had to go into rehab that space. Detroit is a risky place. The payoff for us was huge. You know, we've got great press right now. We're putting out really good food, and we have a mission that we're all exceptionally dedicated to, which is making food that is local, making it accessible in Detroit, and hopefully having an effect on the food systems, you know, on a greater spectrum.
Let's end by talking food for a moment, what you're doing at Republic right now. Give us what's your favorite winter dish on the menu right now?
People ask me this all the time. I feel like it's like picking between children.
Give me a couple.
I have always loved our weirder meats. So we have a couple of Oregon meats on the menu. Like I said, we source through Cherry Capital. They provide us with really beautiful beef tongue and pork cheek. So we have a tongue-in-cheek on the menu right now, which is pretty adorable. We braise the tongue, and we confit and then fry the cheek. So that's one of my favorites just because it really highlights kind of like the usability of these weirder cuts.
Waste nothing.
Yeah, exactly. And then I really love to smoke things. We have a smoker in-house. So my other favorite would probably be our smoked brook trout. It's actually farmed in a river in Michigan, and we bring it in-house, brine it, and smoke it, and then serve it with my dad's habanero jelly. So,
sounds wonderful.
It's a good one.
Sarah Welch, the executive chef at Republic Tavern in Detroit. It was great to meet you. Thank you so much for being with
us. Thank you for having us. We really appreciate it.